Good morning. And as I mentioned, we are having a call-in show this morning, and this is a gardening call-in show. Joining me this morning is Lee Skidmore, and we have a lot of topics to cover.
We do. It should be a good program.
And what should people be thinking about doing right now with their gardens?
Well, let me back up for just a minute. May I mention KRBD?
Sure.
I mean, KPU.
Sure.
Well, they film most of our programs and tours and workshops. So if you can't come to the meetings, you can watch it in a couple weeks on TV. So, I mean, and it's channel 617.
If you have KPU.
If you have KPU, others,
yes.
Right.
Okay.
Okay, here's a caution. We're ready to go out and dive in. Take off your watch and your jewelry so you don't lose them.
Is that common?
I know several people who've lost wedding rings, engagement rings, and
My.
Well,
because you get into it and you maybe get a little careless and aren't paying attention exactly where.
Well, right. I mean, I wore my rings for years and never even thought about taking them off. And a couple of friends lost theirs, and I thought, oh, maybe you should take it off before you go play in the mud. Gardening. Right now, the questions that are asked most often is, what can I plant now? And at my house, when I have time, I plant, whether it's really appropriate or not. You know, keep my fingers crossed. But you can plant bare roots, your real hardy perennials like peonies, primroses, hellebores, strawberries, hosta. Read the tag because you need to watch the planting depth so the crown doesn't get buried. That's probably the way we kill most of our plants. Tender annuals, like the ones we buy at the grocery store and the nurseries right now, unless they're perennials, I think it's too cold. We have a chance of another frost. So those shouldn't go out, but you can certainly buy them and put them in your kitchen window.
And what are tender annuals?
Oh, like the little primroses we get at the store and some little things like that. I can't think of any other than the little primroses, but there are just annuals.
So primroses shouldn't be out yet.
I don't put the ones that I buy at the grocery store. They're the really bright colored ones because they may not make it. They go from an indoor greenhouse to a grocery store, and then you take them home and we stick them out here in the weather, and they're just not, they haven't been hardened off enough, so you might lose them. And we all understand what hardening off means.
Why don't you explain that for those who don't?
Okay. When you raise something indoors and you want it to go outside, you need to harden it off, which means, take it outside, put it in a shady place for an hour or so, take it back in, take it out the next day for a little bit longer so that it gets used to the temperature and the sun so that it doesn't sunburn. Because once, like your begonias, once they get sunburned, then they don't look as pretty as if you'd hardened them off a bit before you took them outside.
And how long does the hardening off process last?
Depending on the sun, you can maybe... You know, if the sun's real bright for the next week, you want to take them out just a little bit and bring them back in. It's best in the morning when they get the bright morning sun and then bring them into the shade or back inside. I would do it an hour, the first couple days, hour and a half, the second couple days, so that when you leave them outside, they're going to be able to stay outside in the sun all the time.
But is it like a two-week process or?
2 weeks should be long enough. I know many people who don't do that and then have plants that suffer. And if you've got a beautiful begonia and you let one side of it get sunburned and the leaves fall off, then it has to be against a wall or something because the back of it's not pretty. So anyway, any fall bulbs that you didn't plant, like your tulips, daffodils, hyacinths, go ahead and plant those outside now. They should have been planted in September and October. If you didn't toss them out, plant them because they should come back next year. If you've got Easter flowers, you know, the baskets of cyclamen and daffodils and that stuff, wait till they finish blooming. And then I take and trim the stems on mine to about 6 inches and take those out and plant them because they're hardy bulbs. They should be fine out there, and they should come back next year. And those you want to plant, 4 to 6 inches deep.
And these, you know, you speak of fall bulbs. Are there spring bulbs?
Yes, there are.
Fall bulbs. And so the fall bulbs, you're saying planting in roughly September or something. When are you planting the spring bulbs?
Right now.
Okay. And what are some of those?
You've got mostly lilies. You can get Bleeding Heart. I'm trying, you know, and I can vision the store with all the stuff in it. So you've got lilies, not daffodils. Any of the bulbs that are in the stores right now are probably spring bulbs, and they're great to plant right now. Read specifically for planting depth and whether or not they need full sun or partial sun, and just plant them.
But you said it's also okay to plant your fall ones if you missed out.
If you missed out.
So what will they do? Will they just sort of sit there dormant?
They'll sit there probably dormant through the spring and summer, and then come up in the fall. And your choices are go ahead and plant them or throw them out. So
why not go ahead and plant them?
Let's plant them. Yeah, it doesn't take long to plant a bag of bulbs, so you can do that easily. Checking my notes here. Okay, let's talk about potatoes. That's a big question right now. Anybody who grows potatoes has their very specific way to do it. We've had several people come and talk to Garden Club about how they specifically plant potatoes. Many people are considered potato experts or the queen of potatoes or the king of potatoes. And everybody is very consistent in what they do, how they plant the potatoes. I can tell you how I plant. I have big gray tubs. And this will tell you what a lazy gardener I am, because I mix my soil, 1/3 cheap garden soil, 1/3 bark chips or manure and bark composted, and then some vermiculite to lighten it up some. I take my bin and I drill 24 holes in the bottom, 4 rows of 6. Then I put about 4 inches of soil in the bottom. I put whole potatoes on that soil near the ends. I don't like cutting up the potatoes and waiting for the cut edge to heal or scab over before I try and plant them. So I just drop the whole potato in. And then, in theory, what most potato growers do is cover it with soil. And as the plant grows taller and taller, you keep heaping the dirt around the stem, because potatoes form on roots that come from the stem. But I just fill my tub to the top, put about 2 inches of composted manure on top, and say, see you in August. So, and I've planted all of mine. I usually plant spring break when my grandchildren are here, so that when they come back in August, we can harvest and eat the potatoes that we planted. But we learned some unusual things that people do to their plants. One gentleman raises grass to put in his potatoes. He takes like a 4x4 square of grass, turns it upside down, nestles the potato in the roots, and then puts his potato on it, covers it up, and then heaps up the soil as the potato stem grows. It's just up to the individual exactly how they want to plant potatoes.
And are you successful? It sounds like you're successful with your method.
Yes. I have 16 bins, so I plant 32 potatoes. And I harvested a bin yesterday and got 6 pounds of potatoes.
That sounds pretty good. I don't know.
There's a formula. If you plant this many pounds of potatoes, your harvest should be this many. 6 pounds of potatoes is a lot for 2 people to eat. But they're fresh and crisp and deep yellow and delicious.
Are there particular species that are recommended for here?
Again, every potato grower has the potatoes that they like. The gold potatoes seem to do about the best, whether it's Gold Rush or Yukon Gold or Finn or some of the more exotic ones. And potatoes have different flavors. So if you like the finished potato, then you plant lots of those. You can plant red potatoes and purple potatoes and fingerlings and whatever you like. I usually plant Gold Rush and Yukon Gold. I have one bin of Rebecca's Reds because I have a friend who gives me two red potatoes every year to plant. French Rose Fingerlings are so delicious when you cook them and mash them and then whip them. It's like eating whipping cream. They're so light and fluffy. But it's whatever you like. And if you're using your garden journal, you can see how many you planted, weigh your harvest, and then you know when you planted them, what kind of soil you used, and you've got all that information. And most people don't really mix the soil for potatoes. They just dump it in the bin or till the garden and plant.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I was going to say, and it's a fun project to do with kids. You just have to remember that potatoes have been treated, so you want to make sure you get kids to wash their hands, and you need to wash yours also, and that the potato vine is poison, so you don't want kids to play with it, eat it, chew on it, that kind of stuff.
And you're buying potatoes from a nursery or something? Or, I mean, you can't use the ones in the store, correct?
They say not to do that because they're not supposed to grow.
They're treated to keep them from drawing.
You know, I would think so. I will buy potatoes wherever I can find potatoes. You know, we have three or four different places in town where you can get them. If you know somebody who orders specific varieties, you might be able to talk them out of a couple of potatoes. But now is planting potato season, so it's a good time to go check. I know Walmart has three or four. I don't remember. I didn't look for potatoes at North Shore or at Bee's, but you can probably find potatoes just about everywhere.
And do you, after your harvest, save some of those potatoes to plant next year?
Not intentionally, but there's always potatoes left. And so I have potatoes that come up in the strawberry patch or with my lilies or, you know. I haven't mastered the skill of keeping potatoes over for seeds the next year. But the last few years, I've not harvested everything in the fall and just left them in the container and harvested as I was ready for more potatoes. When I was planting potatoes Saturday, I realized that, I didn't harvest this bin. So I dug it up, and that's where I got 6 pounds of potatoes. They're not as pretty as this, you know, when you harvest them in August. They've had a chance to sit. The skin gets a little tougher. The color gets a little deeper. But they still taste good, and they're fresh potatoes.
Okay. And a reminder, this is a call-in show, so if you have questions or want to share some tips, you can give us a call at 225-9655 or 1-800-557-5723. And you wanted to speak of things beyond potatoes, or did you have more potato lore that you'd like to share?
I think that's about all the lore I have. But strawberries, now's the time to plant strawberries, and you can get strawberries everywhere. If you want strawberries for eating, make sure you buy an eating variety because we do have varieties of decorative strawberries. They have a beautiful pink flower and smaller leaves, and they usually are much more creeping. But I have a strawberry bed that this is the time to dig up the strawberries, clean the dead leaves away, clean up the soil surface, break them into pieces, and then replant them and make sure that you don't plant too deep. Then I put down shredded bark because it's real prickly and the snails don't like it. And then I sprinkle the surface of that with coffee grounds because they don't like that either. And speaking of slugs, one of our new garden club members, who's a longtime gardener here in town, found someplace the idea of using cornmeal in canning jars, because the slugs will bypass strawberries and berries and go into the canning jar to eat the cornmeal. I thought, yay! And so that's something I intend to try.
Now, though, that won't kill them, so you have to get them before they escape, correct?
Well, yeah. But if you can see them and they bypass what you want to eat for cornmeal.
They like the cornmeal.
They seem to like the cornmeal. Huh. This lady said, now just leave a little trail and they'll just walk, follow along on it. They don't walk, slide along and eat the cornmeal. So yeah. So
worth a try.
It is worth a try. Anything that you can do to kill slugs is a good deal.
And the with regards to strawberries, is it important to thin them out? Will they not produce as well if they're all clumped and tight, or just to get more, I guess, from them?
Usually you're doing it after 2 or 3 years because they do get real tight. You just break them apart, and it's like individual little plants all clumped together. But you do have to break it because the crown of the plant gets kind of woody. But you just break them apart and replant them. And now is, you know, the time to do it before they set flowers and have berries. But just trade them. If you've got Freedom and I've got French Everberry, we can change and have a lot more plants. You know, the Frontier Bloom, I mean, you harvest the end of June. Everberry, you harvest throughout the growing season. You don't get very many. And some are real watery, some are big, some are real strong flavored, good for jellies and preserves, and others are just good for eating.
And should there be a certain amount of spacing as you're setting them out there, or does it not really matter?
I would leave maybe 3-4 inches between, because they do grow quickly, they do reproduce, and they have runners. You know, that's a little stalk that comes out, and then there's a plant at the end, and it touches the ground and roots, and then it sends out another one. And you can have runners going everywhere if you don't cut them off by the end of the season. And some of the runners will be 20 feet long. So it just – and that's a part of gardening that's fun for little kids. They can harvest the berries. They can replant them, put them in baskets and hang the basket up. If you have – the wooden containers from last year's fuchsias and begonias, and it's good to plant them there. Then you can hang them, and it's more difficult for slugs to get to them.
I actually have been very lucky. Mine are growing on these hanging things on a rail, and other than the birds, I have to say the birds get them. But
I have a solution for that, too, with the rocks, where you take and paint strawberry-shaped rocks red and put a green top and black spots, and it looks like a strawberry. Mine are already out, and I've seen the little scratchy birds out there pecking on them. And I've done it now. I think this is be the fourth year. By the time the berries are ripe and ready to eat, the birds have given up because they can't, you know, they peck on the rock, and then they just say, these must not be edible, and go to something else. So, and that's fun for kids, too. And if you're giving a strawberry basket or plant as a gift, I put a little bit of wood chips on there to make the top look finished, and then put some strawberries nestled, some rocks nestled up next to the crown of the plants, and it's just a pretty gift. And we sell those like that sometimes at the plant sale. So next thing you can plant now is peas, the sugar snap peas. I have 2 grow boxes where I plant them. I plant 12 seeds in each container, and that is all the sugar snap peas that the two of us will eat. So, and they're quick and easy, and you can eat them right off the vine, and the slugs don't seem to bother them. So,
and are these something that's climbing or bushy or?
I have trellises, so I do the bushy ones, and they're a pretty plant. They look like sweet peas, you know, like we plant for the sweet pea aroma, and you know, to decorate a trellis or a wall. But that's enough pea seeds for me to plant. So, and it's they're always successful. There's enough to eat now, and there's enough to freeze. So,
and you recommend this, the sugar, the snap peas or sugar peas? What did you call them?
I call them sugar snap. There's a lot of them out there.
So any kind of pea is probably a good choice.
Any kind of pea is probably good. I don't plant pea pods because I don't like harvesting and taking the seed, the little round peas out. These, you just cut them off, you know, steam them, eat them. And I don't use pesticide on stuff like that. So, and I don't use slug bait. So, yeah, it's fun. And it's good with little kids or teenagers, or, you know, if you punish your kids by making them do garden work, go harvest the peas. So, yeah. I hope people have started a gardening journal, because if you look back to this time last year, you can see what you did. If you edit it after the season, you know what worked and what didn't work, so that you don't repeat the same mistakes again. So, anyway, what else? You can start seeds indoors.
It's not too late.
It's not too late. I planted 9 flats of herbs for the Garden Club plant sale in May. Looking at last year's Garden Journal, I planted them this time, and they were between 3 and 5 inches tall. So they're ready to go to baskets, just go home with people. And that's another fun thing that you can do. Lettuce bulbs are another thing to plant. You buy different kinds of lettuce that are already packaged. I learned from when Loanne Swanson and CJ were here to get a packaged mix, so that all the lettuce and the other green leaf things that are in there all mature at about the same time. So I don't have to study the information on the packet to know this should go together, that should go together. And they're very pretty, very, very pretty. So planting them now, in another month, you should be able to pinch the outside leaves off and put those in your salads.
And those lettuces last quite a while. You just keep pinching off leaves and they keep going.
They do. And the same way with chard and kale. Those should be planted so that you can, because they get large. And I think you have chard out front, red, right. So it made it through the winter. You can harvest it all winter long. It's ready to start growing again. Kale is pretty much the same way. It goes through the winter. Mustard greens are already coming up from seeds that dropped last year. I like the mustard greens in my salad because it's kind of a peppery, hot flavor. And then you can stir fry it or cut it up and put it in your omelet or whatever. But all of that stuff is so easy to do.
Okay, I have a question because I know there are a lot of dandelions out there, and I know you can eat dandelion greens. Would that be when they're really little? I mean, do you ever harvest dandelion?
I do. I like them when they're about 2 inches long, and you just wash them and put them in your salad. You need to be careful of where you harvest them, and you want to make sure that it's not where you have sprayed pesticide or where oil might have dripped or something like that, so that it's clean and fresh and ready to just eat. I get tired of the flavor quickly. So, you know, once a week, harvest dandelions. The rest of my family won't eat them because they're a weed. So, yeah. I know people who make dandelion wine, dandelion pickles. You know, it's a versatile something or other.
Interesting. Just because they are so prominent everywhere.
Yes.
And rather than, I guess, try to just constantly dig them up, maybe take advantage of them.
Well, if you want
to. Which you have to get rid of them too, though.
Yeah, but pull the flower off or cut the flowers off so they don't spread all those seeds. Designate a specific spot in your yard for dandelion greens and go for it. Oftentimes you can even find them in grocery stores. So, yeah, that's good.
Okay, and we have a few minutes left in the show if you have any questions. 225-9655. Or 1-800-557-5723.
Another thing, if you have a Japanese maple, the variegated, the red ones, and it's come through the winter with some dead branches, now's the time to take them off because you can see them before everything leaves out. Dead branches are white. I mean, they've been bleached white. My maples come out with red, you know, new red branches. And so that's something that can be done now. I got a question yesterday. How do I know when I can work in the soil? I tell people, if your hands don't cramp because of the cold, you can actually work the soil. I have we used to call them clam forks in California, but it looks like a giant meat fork. And I just stick it in the soil about 6 or 8 inches and then lift it up and fluff the soil. It aerates it. It mixes in, you know, what you put on the soil to help protect it through the winter. It'll help it warm up faster, dries it out some. You want to be very careful that you don't fork it into your bulbs and lift those up. But if you do,
put them back.
Put them back. Put them right back. You know, say I'm sorry and stick it in there. Probably I wouldn't put out seeds that I started indoors for lobelia or sweet William or those until around the 1st of May because we need to make sure we're not going to have another frost. And when you do get ready to put them out, harden them off. It's time to check the begonias and the dahlias and the fuchsias and see if they're ready to come out. You know, watch your begonia bulbs for little red tips that are growing out the same way with your dahlias. If you have dead tubers on your dahlias, you know, they're shriveled and wrinkled and you need to carefully cut those off. The same way with your geraniums. If you stored the whole plant in the garage or under the kitchen sink, bring it out and look at it. Start watering it. If you put it in the attic, it's time to bring it out. Those we usually put in water so that they can be rehydrated quickly, and then watch them when they start growing again. It's time to plant them. It's, you know, your perennials like hellebores and some of your shrubs and those things that overwintered outside in the ground, check them all for damage and remove the damage. If the shape is growing off to the left and it should be growing up, kind of, you know, shape them a little bit.
Yeah, you're speaking about, and I know hellebore is something that you're very a big fan of.
I'm a big fan of them. They come up out of the ground in probably January, in full bloom. So last year, one of the garden club ladies told me to trim everything off and just leave the crown sitting there, because in the spring or midwinter, when they come up, you've got this beautiful mound of flowers, and then the leaves come up after the flowers come out. If you didn't do that, cut the last year's leaves off so you've got all the new shiny green leaves. The same way with Bergenia, which has the big leathery leaves and the tall red stalks with pink flowers, so that you've got everything nice and cleaned up. And it's just a few minutes a day, keeping things cleaned up, keeping things groomed. When the soil is warmer, fertilize, add compost. Just walk around and enjoy things.
Okay, and it looks like we have a couple of callers. We have Mike joining us. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
What's your question, Mike?
Well, I was wondering, I tuned in a little bit late, so I'm not sure if you addressed this already or not, but I've heard a lot about garbage can potatoes, and I was wondering if you could speak about growing potatoes in a garbage can.
I've never grown them in a garbage can, but I plant in a gray bin, one of the oblong ones, which I think would be about the same thing.
And you poke holes in the bottom for drainage.
Yeah, you need to make sure you have drainage. And then traditionally you would put soil in the bottom, and then you would put your potatoes. And then as the potatoes grow up, you keep adding soil so that you have potatoes develop all along the stem. I know if you look up garbage can potatoes on the internet, you will find exactly soil mix and how to do that. But it'll be a great project.
Yeah. So the more soil that you can pile on top, then the more potatoes you will get. Is that right?
In theory, yes.
Yeah, what she was saying earlier is that it basically the stem, if you keep covering the stem, more shoots, I guess, go out and produce potatoes.
Right.
Okay,
so
great.
Probably that's why the idea of a garbage can, because, boy, you could have a pretty...
You could have a real tall potato plant, yes.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm going to give it a try and see what happens, so thanks a lot.
All right,
good
thank
luck.
You. Thank you. Okay, and we just have a few minutes left. What other items do you have?
Well, please go plant something. I planted 32 potatoes, 24 sugar snap peas, one lettuce bowl, and then 9 flats of herbs. And it's quick and easy. You know, for a lettuce bowl, get a plastic bowl at the thrift store, Walmart, someplace, drill holes in the bottom, put in regular potting soil, about 1/4 inch of seed starting mix, sprinkle your seeds, cover the whole area lightly, put another 1/4 inch of seed starting mix, water it, put it right outside, and, you know, not so that the rain is going to pound on it. And in a couple of weeks, you should see plants about an inch tall. And in another couple weeks, you'll be harvesting little tiny leaves of all kinds of heirloom lettuce or whatever you want.
You mentioned the plant sale, and I've had some people ask about that. When is the Garden Club's plant sale? Do you have those dates?
It is the second Saturday in May. It's May 14th. It starts at 8 o'clock, and it will be at 5210 Shoreline Drive. The proceeds from that fund our scholarships.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much
for being here.
And we'll have you back for more gardening questions. And we will post this on our website, krbd.org, in case you want to re-listen or missed part of this interview. And if you have ideas of garden topics or other topics you would like to see us discuss during a call-in show, please let us know. You can email me, Maria, M-A-R-I-A, at krbd.org.